Hello and welcome to the Behind the Bar Show. This is the first show for 2007, and I think it's time to start with Beer 101. During our break, we'll feature a quote from Benjamin Franklin, so grab a pint of your favorite brew and let's get to it. Okay, first things first, I want to say happy anniversary to Behind the Bar Show. Yes, I've been doing this for a year now. Behind the Bar Show started on January 18th, 2006, while I was home bored to death due to healing broken bones after a nasty motorcycle accident. I never knew the show would be so much fun or that I'd get to talk to so many wonderful people who have the same passions as me. I'd also like to say welcome back, Josh, from Bartender Weekly. It's nice to see that you're back at vodcasting again, and the new HD video looks great. Now, you might remember my spiel on the last show about my picture of scotch with ice in it. Well, I received an email from David in Bellerica, or Bellerica. I've heard people try to tell me it's said two different ways. David sent me a wonderful email, and I'd like to read a part of it to you now. David stated, "I travel to Europe quite often for work, and I have had the opportunity to have some great drinks and some great bars all over Europe. When you order whiskey, often it will be served neat with a small glass of still water and a very tiny spoon on the side. The idea is to add as much or as little water to your taste, and that's the key, to your taste. I can taste the benefit of how a small volume of water brings out different flavors in whiskey, but one size does not fit all. I say if you're paying for it, you should have exactly the way you want it. Everyone's taste buds are different, depending on the meal you just had, or the time of year, or even the time of day, a person's taste buds are different. The important thing is that it tastes good to you and you enjoy it. You're paying for it. Have it any way you want and enjoy the hell out of it. You never know when it could be your last. Thank you, David." I couldn't have said it any better than that. Before starting this recording, I've already loosened up with a nice ounce and a half of Laphroaig 15 year, with a splash of water and a brandy snifter. That's just the way I felt like having it today. Now, I have to say hello to Karin. I met Karin through my physical trainer, and she was with us during the snowboarding trip that I mentioned on the last show. She started listening to my podcast and had to email me saying she had a good laugh out of my comments about the snow trip and all the snugglers. Those were good. There's just something special about peppermint schnapps and hot chocolate after you've been out in the snow all day. Anyway, Karin, glad to hear you were listening, and hopefully we'll all get together for another snow day soon. Scott, what's up, amigo? Scott had emailed me before, and he had to email me again because he found a very long form about Sazerac. Now, Scott mentioned he cannot find Peychaud bitters anywhere in Connecticut, and he really needs to find this to make a true Sazerac. If anyone out there knows where he can pick up a bottle of Peychaud bitters in Connecticut, please email me at behindthebarshow@gmail.com, and I'll be sure to pass the information along to him. Now, I found from his email questions about the Sazerac that I could probably do a full show on, just on that single drink. And actually, I'm going to put it on my list, so stay tuned for that. I'll say for right now, because I don't want to get too much into the Sazerac, because I would like to do a special show just on it, because it's a wonderful drink. But if you ever have the opportunity to try a Sazerac, definitely do. It's a great cocktail. So I think that does it for now. I'll finish off this listener feedback section with a fun fact. Have you ever heard of someone waking up with a hangover and deciding to have an alcoholic beverage, say a Bloody Mary or a Gin Fizz, first thing in the morning to remove the headache? Have you ever heard them call it the hair of the dog? I'm betting most of you have heard this term. So where did it come from? Well, ancient Scots believed that if you were bitten by a dog, you should apply a few of the hair of the dog's hair to the wound, and that would prevent dire consequences. Thus the term, the hair of the dog, for drinking alcohol in the morning to cure a hangover. You're basically applying that which bit you the night before to prevent further consequences. And with that, thanks to all of you cocktail enthusiasts out there for keeping me focused and for keeping the show alive and making it to our 1 year anniversary. So I want to start this year with a show on beer. Now I could easily do hundreds of shows on beer. That's why there's so many beer podcasts out there right now. Since there are so many podcasts already out there that go into this topic quite in depth, I figured I'd just do a beginner show on the topic for now. Consider it Beer 101, so we'll stick with a very broad scale on beers. Okay, beer. Now, I'm sure someone out there is going to have a problem with this, but I'm going to stick my neck out there and say that most beer can be categorized under ale or lager. Now, let's get into lagers first. Why? Because this is one of the most popular types of beer. Lager comes from the German word lagern, which means to store. Lager is brewed at cooler temperatures than ale and normally takes longer to ferment while being kept at a temperature under 55 degrees Fahrenheit. They're usually a pale golden color, carbonated and lightly hopped. The flavor profiles are usually smooth, crisp, and refreshing. Another interesting fact about lager is that they're fermented using bottom fermenting yeast, meaning the yeast actually sinks to the bottom. Usually then goes through a second phase of fermentation at even cooler temperatures where the liquid will start to clear up and will give it the cool, crisp taste. If you think of most of the big name canned beers, they're most likely lagers like Budweiser, Busch, Corona, Coors, Miller, Samuel Adams, Heineken, etc. Lagers go well with many types of foods, like seafood, beef, poultry, any grilled food really, and definitely pizza. Now, two very common types of lagers are Pilsners and Bock. Pilsners have a lot of hops to them. They're highly carbonated and can be on the bitter side, but balance well with the great floral and spicy flavors. Bock beers may be a lager, but they can take on a color of copper to brown, or to dark brown. Its flavor profile is sweet, rich, and slightly malty. There are four varieties of Bock beers. The first is Maibock, or Maybock, as it is a Bock beer brewed for consumption in spring. It has a pale color, strong flavor of hops, and definitely announces its alcohol content loud and clear. The next is Weizenbock, or Wheatbock. This type has more spiciness to it, is bolder, and has a complex malt character. Then there's Doppelbock, or Doublebock. These are very hearty beers. You could consider them a full course meal in a glass. They're full-bodied and one of the darkest in colors of all the Bocks. They have a bit of a roasted flavor with hints of bitter chocolate. Not only are they strong in body, but in alcohol as well. They're actually one of the highest alcohol by volume of all the Bocks. Yep, it's a double, all right. And after all that talk about Doppelbock being one of the highest in alcohol and flavors makes you wonder if there could ever be a Bock that is more extreme. Well, actually there is. I know I'm just saying Doppelbock's pretty much one of the strongest in all those, but honestly, actually, this gets us to Eisbock, or Eisbach. This type of beer usually starts as a double bock, but is then put through a freezing process that freezes some of the water in it to help remove some water, thus concentrating the flavors and alcohol. The alcohol is definitely present in this beer, and the texture can be somewhat syrupy. It's an intensely flavored beer, that's for sure. Yes, there are a lot more lagers out there, but like I said earlier, this is just some of the basic information. Not only that, I will be completely honest and say I am in no means an expert in beer. Maybe someday I'll have a special guest on the show that is a guru on beers, but for now, we'll just have to deal with this. There's enough information to soak out there, from cocktails to keep me quite busy, so I haven't really gotten into beers myself. Actually, a little bit of personal information about me. I barely ever drink beer, actually. I do from time to time. I like hearty, full-bodied beers myself, but I normally stick to the cocktails. Anyways, let's go to a break, and when we come back, we'll then get into ales. Beer is proof that God loves us and wants us to be happy. Benjamin Franklin. Okay, now I came across that quote and just thought, oh, this is hilarious. This is definitely the quote I need to use for the Beer 101 show. But let's go ahead and get into ale. Some characteristics from ales are fruitiness, acidity, and bitter seasoning. Now, fermentation for ales is quite different than lager. It's completed at warmer temperatures and usually doesn't require refrigeration. As for color, they can range from golden to amber. The flavor profiles are typically complex and fruity. Ales go well with food containing red meat, fish, and sausage, or basically anything that is strong in flavor. Ales are brewed from barley malt, and where lagers are fermented with bottom fermenting yeast, ales are brewed with top fermenting yeast. Now, I explained that the bottom fermenting yeast leave a more crisper flavor because they do well at lower temperatures and actually ferment more sugar. But here, with top fermenting yeast, it causes foam to form at the top of the wort, which can produce higher amounts of alcohol, be sweeter in flavor, and produce a more fruitier flavor. Now, just like my section on lagers, I'm only going to just focus on two types of ales: stout and porter. First, let's talk about stout. Stouts carry a strong roasted flavor and have many varieties itself. They can be dry stouts, which are rich and bitter, flavored stouts with flavors of fruits, coffee, or even chocolate, and oatmeal stouts, which are sweet, rich, and carry a velvety texture. In American stouts, some are even barrel-aged in barrels that once aged bourbon. Now, when you think of a stout, think of dark, almost black beer with a thick, creamy foam. Guinness, for instance, is a great dry stout. It has an unbelievably thick, creamy head, which is made due to the nitrogen used when pouring a glass of Guinness. Here's a fun fact about Guinness. When most people think about a glass of Guinness being poured and waiting for the nitrogen to settle and the bubbles to fade away, leaving a clean, smooth beer behind, it's smooth because of the low acidity content, by the way, it would be more acidic if you used carbon dioxide like other beers on tap. But anyways, if you were waiting for it to settle, you'd see what looks like the bubbles in the glass were falling instead of climbing up the glass as most bubbles do. The reason for this is because the bubbles in the middle of the glass are traveling upwards, cause a current that pulls the liquid at the outside of the glass downwards, pulling those bubbles with it. That way, it looks like the bubbles are going downwards. I will admit that stouts are one of my favorite type of beers when I do drink beer. I'm not just talking about Guinness here. If that's your only idea of a stout, then please do yourself a favor and try some other stout beers. There are a lot of really good stouts out there. Next are porters. This type originated in London and is considered a bitter ale with a high alcohol content around 7 to 9% and is usually heavy in character. The color is reddish in color up to a dark brown. They normally carry a smoky roasted malt flavor. I guess you would consider a porter to be a lighter stout. Actually, it worked the other way around. A really strong porter was considered a stout porter until they just shortened it for stout, which we already talked about, so we could in essence consider a porter to be a lighter stout. Now that we are totally focused on beer, I'm going to finish with a little bonus, the black and tan. Now there seems to be two different versions of this drink. Some believe that the black and tan should be Harps Lager and Guinness. This would make a complete Guinness drink since Harps Lager is made by Guinness. Some also believe it should be Bass Ale and Guinness. Whichever way you believe it should be made, just consider you can make all kinds of variations of this drink by using a stout or porter along with a light pale beer. These variations can be called half and half. To make a black and tan, hold your pint glass at an angle and fill just a tad over halfway with Bass or Sharp or Harps, whichever you're using. Now, if you're in a bar using a draft Guinness tap, slow it down so it's only coming out like in a trickle and let it fill slowly all the way to the top by letting the Guinness slide down the glass, the side of the glass. Now, that's the slow way of doing it, but if you have a black and tan spoon, and this is a special spoon that that goes into or hangs above the glass with a concave side facing down, it allows you to pour the Guinness into the glass. It hits the spoon, which directs it to the inside edge of the pint glass, allowing it to layer on top of the Bass or Harps. That way your black and tan is separated by beers, and you can see the lighter color on the bottom and the darker color on top. It's also thought of as being a Halloween beer because of the color orange and black. So that's it for this episode. Welcome to 2007, everyone. Before I go, I want to inform all my great listeners who send me feedback by posting comments, calling in, or sending email. As you know, I try very hard to answer every piece of feedback I receive as soon as I can, but I won't be able to reply to any messages from now until mid-February as I'm about to leave for Venice, Italy. I'll be sure to take my recorder, as you never know if I'll find something interesting to add to a future show. Definitely one place I want to go when I'm in Venice, Italy is Harry's Bar, which is the place where the Bellini was invented and is also a legendary watering hole of Ernest Hemingway. Now, even though I won't be here, I still want you to send in those questions and comments to behindthebarshow@gmail.com. or leave a voice letter at area code 206-984-3227. That's area code 206-9-THE-BAR. Remember, my website is www.behindthebarshow.com. Until next time, cheers, drink responsibly, and please don't drink and drive.